Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, God of grace and God of mercy, your gratefulness, your faithfulness is new every morning, and your mercies are continually upon us every day. Thank you for giving us this day to come together and worship together as your children in this place and also online. Lord, you are being praised by all the angels in heaven and all the saints on this earth around the world. You have given us the opportunity and the privilege to come to you and call you Father, because you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for us, so that we were all given the privilege to become your children. Lord, we marvel at your majesty and power, and we are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love, and by the way in which your Son came and lived among us, holding the whole creation in your everlasting arms and giving us the opportunity to come to you and call you Father. Thank you, God, for your protection and care and all the good gifts that we receive from you every morning, every day. We come before you today, dear Lord, and acknowledge you as our Father and our God. We thank you for your grace and redemption you have shown to us even in the midst of our brokenness. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and Almighty God, worthy of all honor and praise, O God. May the services of word and praise we offer today bring honor and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and your Son. Amen.
Amen.
So greeting time now. As a church, we fellowship each other. If you can stand up or say hi to each other wherever you are, and you can unmute everybody online and say hi to each other.
Hello.
Good morning.
All right.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
everybody.
Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jan and Harry. Good morning, Jean. Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Kathy and Don. I will show you a little picture of who we, who who are here today. Again, thank you all for joining today. Let us worship together in truth and in spirit our living God. The choir will be singing an anthem today. It is when the saints go marching by, you can remain seated. If you want to join them, it is 186 on the red hymnal book. We will be singing stanzas 1, 2 and 4 when the saints go marching in. Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 80, 1 through 7. Those of you who are here today, you have an insert, you can follow that. If you are able, please stand for the reading for the Psalter.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. In the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please submit. Please stand. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time today, let us bring our prayers of blessings so that we can all share the blessings together and thank God for all the blessings we receive from God. But also it's a time of sharing our prayers of concerns and burdens together as a church family so that we can share it to each other and also bring it up to the throne of grace of God together as a church family. It is a privilege that God has given us to pray to each, for each other and also for others that we don't even know of. That is a great privilege that God has given us, children of God, to intercede for other people. So let us use this opportunity to pray for us and also for others at this time. The regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin. You will see that at the bottom half. Continue to pray for these people and the items listed here. Use that as a reminder on your study desk or prayer desk at home to regularly pray for these items. We'll continue to pray for those who are going through various health issues, particularly Martha and Jack. Jack is here today. We'll continue to pray for their healing. And any other special items to call out from this list? Okay, yeah, J.D. and Margaret, the brother-in-law in North Carolina passed away this past Sunday. We prayed for him last Sunday, but he passed after that. And they were able to go up there and join the funeral service, which was a blessing during this particular time. Let us keep that family in our prayers for peace and comfort during this time.
Who is that, Margaret? I'm sorry.
Wally K. And also, I guess I lost stuff in my family, but I went up there at the funeral and went to get my 83-year-old brother to take him. And we got there and he was kind of okay, but he kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse as he went and couldn't even walk. So after the funeral, I took him to urgent care. And he has another UTI. And yeah, he's in bad shape. The time I went back, got his medicine, and going back to his home, he just fell into bed. And I covered him, gave him his medicine, covered him up.
He's also he lives in North Carolina.
North Carolina,
yes. Wow, that is something.
Okay,
what's his name?
Bruce. Bruce.
Okay.
I also like to add one of our client and friend's husband, Tony Hillen. He thought he needed a stent in his heart, and there was some biopsy done. Well, it turned out his heart's perfect, which is a blessing, but the biopsy is a prostate cancer, Gleason 4-9. I'm not sure what that means, but it's quite aggressive. So he's going to have some more tests done and see what treatment is. So just pray for his recovery in that.
Tony Hilland.
Hilland, H-I-L-L-A-N-D.
Let us also pray for continue to pray for our frontline workers, the healthcare workers, and the service workers during this pandemic who are working hard behind the scenes to support us. Keep them in our prayers and for their safety. Let us also pray for our country as we are facing an election in the next 3 weeks. There's a lot of turmoil going on, as you all know that. Let us keep our country in our prayers, particularly to have a smooth and calm election without any incidents or problems. The whole world is looking up to our country at this time, and we need to continue to lead the world. And this is the time that people of God will have to pray earnestly that we will have a good election. And whoever comes to power will have a smooth transition of power, whatever way it be. But let us keep our leaders in our prayers, particularly the President and the Cabinet, Congressmen and our Senate members, all of those who are making decisions like the governors of the states, they all need wisdom from God, because human wisdom fails, and we know that now already. And God needs to provide them wisdom to make the right decisions about the safety of our people and the freedom of our people. God has been faithful in the past, and He will continue to be faithful for us as a nation. So keep our country in our prayers.
And thank you for the miraculous recovery for our president.
Amen.
Yes.
You know?
And the family.
Yeah.
They were all affected by that.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing that he was had a full recovery and quick recovery. If there are no other special items to call out, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in the beginning in silent prayers where you can bring up your unspoken prayers as well. And then after that I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says, God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, O God, You have given us more than we could ever deserve. But as we come to You as a family together in this church and also online, we thank You for the privilege that You have given us to call You Father and come to You as Your children. Give us the grace to act in faith in times of needs and hurts and grief and all kinds of burdens that we have to go through in this world. At the same time, we thank You for Your healing presence within us and also in our bodies, in our souls. Lord, we know that there is no need that is so great that God cannot meet, or there is no burden that is too heavy for God cannot carry it. Help us, Lord, to trust in Your faithfulness. You can always say a word and bring an end to this pandemic, and we trust in You that You will bring an end to these problems that we are facing as the whole world. Bless us, Lord, to trust in You and be patient for Your will to be done in our lives. Lord, many of us are confused and many of us are broken in our hearts and in our spirits. We ask that You will give us Your guidance of the Spirit and the comfort of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. Bless us, Lord, as a nation, as we face an election in the next few weeks. We pray that we will have a smooth and a peaceful election and a transition of power, whatever way it comes out. Help us, Lord, to be patient and to be peaceful during this time, that whatever Your will be done, and to accept Your will in this world, in our country. We bring up all those people that we have named in our list of prayer requests here, and also the people who have been specially called out, particularly the family of Wiley Cape in North Carolina, as they are grieving at the death of their dear one. Comfort them, Lord, with Your peace and fill them with Your presence every day. We pray for Margaret's brother as he is recovering from his UTI. Continue to bless him with Your healing, also empower with your spirit to be strong during this time, and we pray for his continued recovery. We pray for Tony Hilland, who has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, whatever condition it is. Lord, we know that You are there with him. Heal him and touch him with Your healing hand, and also fill them with the peace, the family, and comfort them with Your presence. We thank You for the continued healing of Martha and Jack, and be with them as a family. be with them and fill them with your peace and also their families with your presence, Lord. We pray for all those who are affected by this pandemic and all the various natural disasters that happen around us, Lord. A lot of people are struggling to get things back together. We pray for the recovery efforts in those areas. Lord, we pray for our frontline workers, our healthcare people, doctors and nurses, our police and fire, and all those people who are doing service work in our community, our delivery workers and our grocery clerks and all those who are working behind the scenes to support us. Thank you for their services. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for everything that they do. And we pray for their continued safety. We pray for the leaders of this church, this country, particularly our president. And thank you for the healing and the recovery that you gave them as a family. Continue to guide them with wisdom, the governors of the states, all those who make decisions during this time, Lord. We pray that you'll lead them with your guidance and your wisdom so that they can make the right decisions for the people of this country. Be with us as a church, Lord, as we meet together this afternoon for the church conference, as we reflect on the past year and also look forward to a new church year with plans and things that we are planning to do in this community. Bless us with your wisdom and guidance so that we can do your work faithfully here. We also pray for the yard sale that we are planning for this coming Saturday and also the trunk or treat. Make it a time of blessing to this community, that we can have some interaction with this community and also reach out to people who are in need. Bless us, Lord, and have a safe and a great yard sale for next coming Saturday. Bless us as a church as we continue to look up to you to do your work in this area. We pray that you'll be with us today as we worship together here. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the people around the world who are worshiping you and also the saints and angels in heaven. Be with us and glorify your name. Bless each and every one of us according to our needs and our desires. As we go from this place today, let us feel a change in our hearts and in our lives. Your peace that will rule in our lives as we depart from this place. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed as we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is our offertory time now as the choir is singing, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." The ushers may come forward and collect the offerings. Those of you who are mailing it, please use that address to mail your donations to the church and your tithes and offerings. It is 474 in the blue hymnal book.
Through this dark, golden night,
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, You are the source of all that we have and all we are. We come to You as Your children with open hands, Lord, and whatever You have given us, we give a portion of back to You for the kingdom of Your God, a work in this world. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ, You have blessed us more than we could ever ask for. We offer ourselves at this time and bring a portion of what You have given us. Help us, Lord, to find joy in freely giving our prayers and gifts and service and support to the ministry of this church and Your work around the world. We ask You to accept this offering of Your people. We thank You for those who are able to give joyfully, and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in Your love, O God. Bless and help us to see this offering, to share Your love to this world. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the reading of the word, which is taken from Genesis chapter 47, verses 5 through 12.
Ready?
Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob, brought Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank You for Your word that You have given us for our life and our spirit, so that we can be comforted, edified, and nurtured in our body, in our soul and spirit. You are the living word who fills us with Your power through Your word. As we come before meditation of Your word, we pray that You will humble our spirits, illumine our souls, and help us to have an obedient mind as we go from here to obey Your word and apply that in our lives, so that it's only a blessing in our lives, but also to be a blessing to this world, a source of blessing to this world. Help us, Lord, to understand the words that You give us today, and may Your name be lifted up and glorified. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We were continuing with the study of Genesis for this last few Sundays, and today I hope I can close this study with the closing chapters of Genesis. And many of you probably are tired of hearing from Genesis already. A lot of stories about brothers and quarrels and fathers and sisters. Things are happening in the families, but those are all real stuff that is still happening after thousands and thousands of years ago. We are still the same people. Nothing has changed. We need redemption. No matter how much we have progressed, We need a Savior to lift us up from our brokenness. And that is the reality even now. There is no change in that. And that's how we have a Savior. Thank God for that. We are here today as we come to the closing chapters as Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to get food, and the surprise was that Joseph, his lost son, is the prime minister there, second in line to Pharaoh, making all the decisions. And they had all the food there, and the whole famine affected the world, that's what the Bible says. And Jacob and his sons decided to go and get the food, and then finally Joseph did not disclose him in the beginning as their brother, but he knew it was his brothers, but his brothers did not recognize him. They could ever imagine here in the best or worst dreams that it was going to be Joseph there. But there was a little drama that Joseph played, and that was interesting to listen to that. We learned that last Sunday that they sent him back with one brother as a hostage there, and the sons came back to Joseph with food, but they had to leave one brother there because Jacob did not send his youngest son Benjamin because of his love toward him in the first time when they all went to collect the food from Egypt. So now they are taking Benjamin to go second time to get the food. Joseph wanted them to bring Benjamin, but Jacob is broken now. He didn't want to let Benjamin go, his youngest son, and that's what we discussed last Sunday, that everything is against me. He lost his wife, the dear wife, Rachel, and then he lost his father. Then he thought he lost his son Joseph, who was sold to the foreigners by his stepbrothers. But Jacob did not know that. I mean, you all know that story now and remember that story. So he thought he lost a lot of things that he was holding dear to his heart. His dear wife, his father, his dear son who was born to his dear wife, Joseph, whom he loved so much. And now he had a second son from Rachel before she died, Benjamin. And he loved him so much that a life without Benjamin was not even imaginable for him. He thought he was going to die if he is separated from his child. But that is not the end of story there. Many times we get broken up in our hearts and in our spirits when things are taken away from us. The things that we hold on to dearly, we think that when they are taken away, it's going to be the end of our lives. Because of our limitations of understanding and the limited experiences that we have, our God is a God who is bigger than anything in this world, any problems that you will ever face. That is what Jacob learned through his whole life of events. If there was an eventful life in somebody's life, it is Jacob's life. He went through a lot of things in his whole life. So here comes Benjamin, and Judah, one of the other sons, said, well, I will step in for Benjamin. If I don't bring this son back, you take my children. And so he made a deal with his father. Finally, Jacob had to let go of the last thing that he was holding on to, his dear son Benjamin. And they took him away and went to Egypt for collecting more food. And Joseph was still there, and he saw Benjamin, his own mother's son. And he was filled with so much joy that he started crying. We hear that the whole family of Pharaoh saw and heard him cry. He went out several times. While talking to his brother, he went out and cried several times. And he was filled with so much joy. That is something that we all learn from this story, that even in the midst of that situation, Joseph was filled with joy and gratitude, not hatred or revenge. Many times we as human beings are filled with revenge and hatred. The things that the stepbrothers did to him, they put him in a well, thinking that he was going to die there, and there was no water in there, and he did not die. And then they sold him to strangers. and he was taken away to a foreign land, and he was put in prison there for no fault of his own. He had a lot of things that he could have complained about because his stepbrothers did that to him. But he did not have any revenge or any hatred toward the people who hurt him that much, because all of those puzzle pieces came together, that God put these pieces together to make a full picture. And whenever I think about or preach about Joseph, the puzzle pieces come to my mind. Our lives are filled with so many puzzle pieces. Some of them, we don't understand where this is going to fit. We may get confused and we may get doubtful and we may get anxious. But God knows that there is a piece that will fit together at the right place. And if we let things go that we hold on to dearly, God will take those pieces and fit them together and make a beautiful picture. And we see that great picture outside on the box of the puzzle box. That is what happened to Jacob. And he sent his son, last son also, and Joseph finally disclosed himself to the brothers. That is all in this chapter 44 and 45 that you can go home and read. I don't want to go through all the things there. But Joseph finally could not hold it anymore. Joy was overwhelming in his heart that he were able to reunite with his brother. And also hearing that his father is still alive. And that was a great, great news that he could not hold on to that joy. So finally he burst out and disclosed himself to his brothers and said, "I am Joseph, your brother that you have sold to the foreigners, thinking that I will be no more. But here I am. I am the ruler of this country, and you are in front of me." And you can imagine the terror and the fear that probably came to the mind of those brothers at that time. The struggles of fear and terror that came to their mind probably thought that they were going to be subjected to some kind of punishment or put in prison or something. But Joseph did not knew that. Joseph embraced them, hugged them, and told them, "Do not be distressed. Do not be afraid." So that now the tears of terror had changed way to shock and disbelief. They could not believe what is happening in front of them. So this is where we see the words spoken by Joseph. In chapter 45 we read, "Do not be distressed, my dear brothers. Do not be angry with yourselves," because they were getting angry at themselves. They thought that this was coming back to them because of all their actions and deeds. Many times we get angry at ourselves because we failed on certain things. Maybe our own fault. Maybe not our own fault. But then when things don't work out, things go in the wrong way, we become bitter about ourselves and angry at ourselves. But Joseph is telling them, "Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no more food in this world. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now hurry back and go to your father and tell him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me the Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and stay with me and don't delay.'" Can you see how much the shock and the disbelief the brothers probably felt during that time? They could not believe what was happening in front of them. This is exactly what will happen when we go to heaven. Because we have no place, or we don't deserve anything in heaven that God has prepared for us. We don't know the riches and we can't even imagine how much glorious that place is going to be. The wretched life that we lead here, the sinful and all the evil that surrounds us, when we get there in presence of God in heaven, with all the saints there, praising God together, we will be in shock and disbelief how much God has loved us and kept us. And then these brothers, with so much joy, they went back to their father. Not only that, when Joseph sent them back to get their father to come and stay with them, he went and told Pharaoh what was going on here. And Pharaoh was so much excited too, that all these things worked out. A Gentile who has no relationship with the living God, he was becoming part of the history of Joseph. What a great, great story to learn and live from. That we sometimes only think that blessings can come only through God's people. That is not necessarily true. God can use anybody and anything in this world to bless us. So be open to whatever we receive, because God is a great God who is faithful, that he will use anything and everything and anyone and everyone to bless us if we trust in him. So when Pharaoh heard this story and said that the brothers are going back and bring their father, he sent a lot of stuff, that camels and chariots and all those things with them to take all their stuff back here. But now, Jacob was a little confused, probably because he was 139 years old. He probably wanted to settle down and die somewhere peacefully. But at this time, God is asking him to move again? Well, he could not understand it. He's being asked to move to Egypt. He knows now that his son is alive and he's joyful on that. But what about the retirement life? Where is that going? I have to go and settle down in a new place now, establish myself. Things get stirred up again. Well, sometimes it happens in our lives. When we think that everything is settled and going to be peaceful and, you know, I want to be this way and I don't want to be bothered anymore, boom. Things get shaken up again. What do you do? So we read that Jacob packed up everything. We see that he gathered all his relatives, whoever he can, because there were 70 people. That's what we read in the next book, Exodus, that there were 70 people who went along with him, all his family members, because it was a famine. So he gathered everybody and anybody he could to take it to the place there where there is food. And he did that. And then on his first stop at the first night, he made a sacrifice to God and he worshipped God. That's what we read there, Jacob. And he was still confused what his future is going to hold like. But God appeared to him at that time and said, don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I have sent somebody before you, your own son that you thought was lost. And he's going to be the redeemer for your tribe and your nation. And God's promise is being fulfilled. And that's how all of these people ended up in Egypt. And they were there as honored guests and not as slaves. They were honored by the Pharaoh, giving them the best portion of the land and gave them all that they needed. This is the God of Jacob. When we come to the Psalms, and many of those psalms, when we read, O God of Jacob, O God of Jacob, we honor you, we glorify you. We read that in many, many psalms. God of Jacob is being addressed, God is addressed as being God of Jacob. Even though Abraham is the father of all the faithful people, and also Isaac was their father, David was another great king, but mostly we hear about them calling God as God of Jacob. Because if there was a life that was in turmoil, that God took and turned around and made a beautiful picture and a nation out of it, is Jacob's life that we can all relate to. And then finally, Jacob came here and then he was introduced to Pharaoh. And they rejoiced together with Joseph as they gathered together, and then finally Joseph took him and presented to Pharaoh, introduced him. This is my father. He's 139 years old. And then, this is when Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob is staying there. God has been my shepherd all my life to this day. The Lord who kept me through from my birth till today may bless all these people here today. The Lord who kept me through. That is the only witness or testimony that Jacob can say at this time. When he looked back all the events that happened, many things that he thought was going to end his life has turned around now, and God has made a beautiful picture at the end and saying, he looked back and said, the same God who has kept me through here, and I can trust in a God because I see where things are going to happen now. Even though he is in a foreign land, the presence of God is still there, giving him all the things that he needed. And also fulfilling God's promise that he made to him, to Jacob, that he said, I will make you a great nation. And they did become a great nation in that foreign land. So one of the last pictures we see is described in the New Testament about Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11. We read that by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons and bowing in worship over his staff. The picture we see is not a man of determining his own future. It is a picture of a grandfather knowing that God will fulfill his promises. All he had to do was to be obedient and do not give up hope. Jacob's life relates to us humans because more than Moses or David or Abraham, Jacob does not stand out before as a man of love or good qualities. We can all relate to somebody like that. God chose Jacob, and God chooses to be called the God of Jacob. Jacob went through the hard life most of his time. He was tough in the sharp school of discipline. And that's what he says in chapter 47, few and evil have been the days of my life, filled with pain, misery, death, loss of loved ones, and loss of possessions. But through it all, he could see the hand of God working in his life through him so that he can become what God wanted him to be. Jacob's life tells us that there is no extreme sin or transgression or situation that God cannot redeem. God can redeem any broken situation and make it beautiful if we hand it over to him. If there was a life that came apart at the seams, it was Jacob's life. If there was a life where the earth seemed to quake and the waters roar against a person, it was Jacob's life. That old character of Jacob that insisted on doing this his own way came to an end. And everything is now going in God's way. The God of Jacob is the God who will bring the pilgrims home. And that's the promise of God to you and me today. That is why the psalmist, particularly in Psalm 46, we read that even though the earth changes and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though the waters roam and foam, we would not be afraid and trembled. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This year 2020 has been an interesting year. We all know that. It is an interesting year, at least for our lifetime. We don't know what is going to be ahead of us in 2021. But we do know that who is going to be there in 2021 that was with us in 2020. And that is the great promise that we need to hold on to. And in chapter 8 in the book of Romans, Paul says that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine or nakedness, danger or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through whom he loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, that is what I want you to take with you today. No, nothing, there is nobody, nothing in this world will separate us from the love of Christ in God in Christ Jesus. God chose Jacob even with his infirmity and littleness. And God can choose each one of us. Our salvation is not dependent on how good we are. It is dependent on how good God is. And He is a good God. There was in the last couple of days, there was a big wind coming through our side of the town that we were living in. And I was looking at through the window. And there was a little bird sitting on the electric wire. A very tiny little bird. And the storm was really hard and the wind was blowing so much and the electric cable was actually swinging back and forth. And I was looking at that little bird sitting there. And I said, what is he going to do? And it did not give up hope, or he did not feel afraid or scared, and he was swinging along with that cable. I said, how long has it? And it did not go away. It stood there. And as the wind tore the power line, the bird just sat there. And to me, it seemed like the bird was saying, yes, go ahead and try to shake me off, but I still have the wings. That's what it came to my mind. Dear friends, try to shake us off, anything that comes to us, but we still have the wings God has given to fly off. Hold on to that promise. He's a good God. He will continue to guide us in the future. May God bless you with these words as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory, page 577 in the blue book, if you want to follow with that. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn. people of God, go in the knowledge that our faith in a great God who is greater than and mightier than any storm that we may ever face. We can look at the storms in the eyes that go ahead and shake us off, but we still have the wings of faith to fly off. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love everybody.
Love you. Thank you.